Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is Three and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. It is Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress,
hola,
Davey Hudson, Billy Williford, a full house Tuesday edition of the program.
Optimism Tuesday, Hodges. It's Optimism Tuesday, not just Tuesday. Get it right or pay the price.
A regular Tuesday. Got it.
No such thing.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, there's not a lot to be pessimistic about right here in
Big Orange Country.
Yeah. Everything's kind of rolling along. We got a nice little midweek basketball game tomorrow against the Rattlers of Florida A&M.
Undefeated in the loss column. They're 0-5.
Oh.
Undefeated in the loss column. The loss column is one every time.
Didn't they play? I think they played last night.
Uh-oh.
They might be 0-6.
Oh. Thought maybe they were 1-5.
No. 0-6.
Undefeated in the loss column.
Yeah, they played. They were on the road at Kansas State. And they lost 76-58.
Wildcats.
You don't go into Manhattan and just walk away with a victory.
The Little Apple. Isn't that what they call it?
I have no idea.
Right? Little Apple? Manhattan,
yeah.
Kansas?
Yeah.
KenPom has them ranked 340 out of 353.
Wow.
Upset alert?
No.
What were the other teams we played last week? And, you know, Chattanooga, do you have the, can you give us the rankings on, give the listeners some perspective on where Chattanooga and who was the other team?
We are all about perspective.
Alabama State, where were they?
Alabama State is 322.
Okay.
Chattanooga, 241.
So this will be the worst team on the schedule all year. UNC
yes.
Asheville?
UNC Asheville, 269.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah.
Solidly nice. In the 270s there.
This is by far the worst team that Tennessee will play.
Okay.
All right.
Optimism Tuesday, off and rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Worst team on the schedule.
And if you want more...
I always want more.
I was kind of looking at the schedule. Wisconsin and Cincinnati are not who we thought they were going to be before the season.
They're not who we thought they were.
They're not as good.
We're not going to let them off the hook.
They're not as good.
And you're kind of, I mean, I don't like that people get hurt, but you're kind of catching Memphis, like, at the perfect time, right?
Why is that?
Like, what's, you know, tuck his shorts in guy.
Old Lester.
He's out.
Wiseman's out. Tuck his shorts in, guys out.
Yeah.
It's Lester. Quinoa's or something.
It's
like
only
that.
We'll just call him Tuck his shorts in.
Is that guy. Their two best players? They're both true freshmen, right?
You could argue two of their best three.
Yeah. Okay. I would say two of the best
three.
You hate to see that.
So you can beat Memphis, and then, you know, really either way, we want to go Optimism Tuesday. You beat Memphis. If they turn things around with those guys back later in the season, it's a good win on the resume. And if they implode, while that doesn't really help
you. We get to enjoy it.
Right.
We just get to sit back and watch.
It's a win.
Win. Win. It's two wins.
Easy. Cincinnati and Wisconsin not being who you thought they were. I mean, that's good and bad, right? Depends on if you beat them or not.
I mean, they're a Power 5 opponent. It's going to look good, especially if you beat them by double digits.
So 10 points. Just max win. Net.
Wisconsin has lost back-to-back games to Richmond and New Mexico.
Oh.
How good's New Mexico?
How good's Richmond this year?
Richmond's
pretty decent, right?
They're actually sneaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Richmond was pretty good.
New Mexico has ranked in the 90s.
All right.
Richmond beat Vandy earlier in the year. Obviously, Wisconsin, they beat Boston College, and they got skunked by Auburn. I mean, 14 points, wasn't even close.
No, I watched some of that game. It was close until the end.
Auburn just knocked
pulled away. Yeah.
What's Richmond's KenPom ranking there out of all, you know?
Excuse me, they're in the 70s.
Oh.
So, okay. Sneaky.
Sneaky.
Very sneaky, said.
Cincinnati lost to Ohio State, who I think is one of the best teams in the nation.
Ohio State's really good.
And Bowling Green.
Who is not one of the best teams in the nation. Lost to Bowling Green by more than they lost to Ohio State. I take that back. 1 point less than they lost to Ohio State.
Cincinnati's played 3 overtime games in a row.
That's hard to do.
So I know
you're not kidding.
I know that game's a little bit of ways, but man. Some minutes on those legs.
Well, the only problem with finals is, you know, the team plays tomorrow and then they don't
10-day break
until December 14th against Memphis.
Do you like that before Memphis?
Yep. A lot of prep time.
Yeah, I think. A
lot of load management. Get your studies in order and then welcome the Tigers.
I feel like the last time we had a little, we didn't play on the weekend, came out against Chattanooga and played.
We were prepping for Florida State. Couldn't you tell by the way we played against them?
Okay. Touche. Good point.
It was clearly a joke because we played like absolute ass against Florida State.
Well, they were the first
to your
after
own point.
A little bit longer, you know, an extra
Devil's
day
advocate
in the
to
schedule.
Myself.
Well, you know, they'll probably run them a lot, you know.
Nate, what are you doing?
During
it's Optimism Tuesday. They're not going to run. They're going to be nice and rested. They're going to be well hydrated, no cramping.
I feel like I had a dream. You know how you have a dream that you remember vividly?
Yes.
And then you have dreams that are just kind of very...
That kind of click later?
Yeah. Kind of fuzzy. I feel like I had a dream where we had found out that they had run them too much in Lamont. And the actual images of Lamonte cramping against Florida State were in my brain, paired up with this, like,
no,
we
was,
had gotten inside information.
It was the Florida humidity that got
them. That they had run them
It was
too
the
much.
Heat.
It was a dream, though. I don't have...
The high school gym probably didn't have air.
Honestly,
it's probably hot in there.
Surely to God, a high school gym in Florida would have air.
It was a community college, I think.
Surely air, right? They did have $5 pizza slices behind Section F.
And, like, you know, what, 4 or 5 three-point lines?
Something
like
that.
I hate this. Like, can the men and women just play from the same line? Like, can we – I don't care which one it is. Like, just it just makes the arc under the basket being different annoying. Like, the whole thing.
I think you just go international until you get to the NBA. Or you just go straight NBA.
International. Isn't that where the men's is now?
I think so, yeah.
The women can shoot that.
Yeah, so you have international and NBA.
NBA.
It's the only two courts. Even high school, move it back.
Sexist. Maybe not
no,
high
I
school.
I was on the equal, being equal side of things.
No, you're intentionally making it more difficult for the women. Shame on you.
I can't be right in this situation, can I?
Nope. And that is the trap.
That's how they get you.
That's it. You want even? Even's not even. But you want this even, but that's even.
We'll leave the ball the same size. You know, the
smaller
ball.
No.
You want equal ball? Equal size ball?
I thought you were saying leave them the same size as in they each play with the same size.
I think
size.
The men should go to the women's size ball. And move the women back to the international three-point line.
Could you imagine if the men went to the women's ball? Ooh. Scores would triple.
Yeah.
I always shot better with a woman's ball.
Well, it's smaller, so there's more room for it to go through the hoop. Do you know you can actually fit two women's balls through the hoop simultaneously?
Oh, Houston.
You can fit two men balls.
Yeah. You can fit two men's
Two men's basketball.
Was I wrong? Was I wrong?
No.
Thank you.
It just sounded dumb.
No. I was just saying you can fit two through the hoop simultaneously.
You never watched Pistol Pete?
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Okay, well, now you know.
It's amazing how big the basketball hoop is when you're not staring up at it.
Right.
That was my only point.
You should really never miss.
I mean, they juice the baseballs. Why can't we? And it ruins all the records. Why can't we?
I thought the rims at the community college gym were pretty soft, honestly.
You're a big rim tightness guy.
Buddy. Makes a difference. Go play on a playground with a double rim.
You like them tight?
No.
Oh.
He's just always, like, breaking down.
Davey, you're disgusting.
I said a word.
You're disgusting.
Houston's just always breaking down, like, which gyms have more, you know,
like, you know, you watch,
friendlier.
You watch the NCAA tournament. If the damn rim has a tune, a tone when somebody misses, if it goes gung, that means it's really tight and not a lot of shots are going to fall. If it goes click, click and crunches down, nice rim. They have a special device.
They do. That's a measuring thing. They even check it at halftime at SEC games now.
Oh, it's serious.
Yeah.
They have it in a special, like a bulletproof box.
Lock box.
At Thompson Bowling Arena. They bring it out. They screw it all together. They hang it off the rim. They pull up this little metal piece, and they drop it, and it measures. And they go, doot, 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 loosen it up or tighten it.
What's the rule there? Does it just have to be a certain?
There's a range, yeah.
Oh, a range.
Yeah, it's like the NFL football.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a really good three-point shooting team,
you might want to
tweak it down a little
lower. Just a hint. Or if you're not a good three-point shooting team and here comes one on the road.
One of our coaches in high school used to complain about our rims at home. Hmm. And said that better shooting teams have an advantage when the rim is not as forgiving because they switch the ball more, especially from three. Whereas teams that aren't as good, you know, they're going to hit the rim, it's going to bounce off. It could go either way, I guess.
Thompson Bowling usually a little on the soft side.
He could probably rank all 14 of them for you.
LSU, phew, buddy, those are some stiff rims. Now, they can change, obviously. This is back in my day.
Well, that's because they
– Vanderbilt, stiff.
That's because LSU's going to get to the rim. You know, usually they're more of a
– dunk the damn thing. Yeah,
more of an athletic, like, drive the basketball type of
team. Don't care. They don't care at all. Mm-hmm. It always weirds me out, though, because I've seen it before where Tennessee will have, like, a rough shooting half, and then all of a sudden here they come to adjust the rims at halftime, and I'm like, wait a minute. No. You don't get to now adjust the rim after a team has played on that one for a half, and now you adjust it for your team. I always didn't like that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, those rims sound stiff. Oh, we'll switch them at halftime for the other team. Doesn't make any sense. It's very unfair.
Speaking of that, I was watching a video the other day. The Maui Invitational have, like, the softest rims in the nation, apparently. And there was, like, a video that dates back years of just all these.
Is it, like, a thing? They intentionally do it?
I think so. Of all these shots that should never go in, and then they, like, bounce over the rim. And yeah.
Shooter's touch. Shooter's rims.
You have it in Maui.
The Maui Civic Center.
Maui
it's
Wowie.
It's a paradise for shooters.
So did you get to watch some Bill Walton? Did you get to take in all that is Walton, the world of Walton?
I gave him a chance, and I was impressed.
Did you regret it?
No.
I like how his play-by-play guy kind of trolls him a little bit.
Oh, the whole time. The whole time.
Stokes the flame.
Well, it's always funny. They introduce each other or whatever at the beginning, and then 5 seconds later, every time, Walton goes, and what's your name again? I mean, the whole broadcast. What's your name again? Did he make any drug references?
I think he was alluding to smoking a lot of pot during halftime.
Or he was talking about smoking during halftime?
I had the same question.
I think he...
Maybe yes.
He was like...
Just yes? Yes.
At one point, he was like, oh, it's almost halftime. I'm going to go out and view the scenery. It's beautiful out there, let me tell you. There's a lot of some grass growing around here.
Wink, wink, Maui, Wowie.
Yeah, I appreciate that. On a damn volcano.
Yeah, he always says Maui, Wowie. He sneaks in a Maui, Wowie every time, which is a strand of marijuana grown in Maui. But I said it after the show, I guess, last Wednesday. Like, watching Bill Walton call a game, he is the only guy on drugs that listening to him will make you think you're on drugs. Like, I get paranoid when I'm listening to Bill Walton because I'm like, is he high or am I? There's no way anyone should be talking like this. Like, did somebody slip me something? Because I can't be hearing what I think I'm hearing.
It's commentator gaslighting. He makes you think.
Yes, I'm the one on
you're
dope.
You're crazy, yeah.
Jeez, pretty clever by him.
Well, you know, speaking of college basketball, tonight's the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
Tonight?
Yep.
Louisville, Michigan, 1 versus 4.
Those are just, what's the challenge? ACC, Big Ten?
Big Ten, ACC.
I thought you said SEC. So
Michigan,
I was like, neither
went
of these.
From unranked to fourth in the nation.
There's another team that's somehow doing that with two losses.
What's that kid that's so good for them? I don't know. They got some kid that's just amazing, apparently, and no one really realized it, I guess, before the season, or at least realized that he was going to make them this good. So, yes, unranked to fourth in the country in 1 week of voting. Pretty wild. Duke plays Michigan State, 9:30.
Texas Tech.
That's one AP voter.
Okay.
That's what that was, yeah.
Okay, according to KenPom, right?
Yeah.
No.
They had like two losses, but somebody still moved them up.
I gotcha. I didn't realize that was just for one AP
voter.
Yeah,
that wasn't as a whole.
Michigan
Gary
as
Parrish
a whole.
Has an article that says, what if I told you Texas Tech lost twice last week to unranked opponents and is currently 0-2 against KenPom top 240 teams, but still moved up 4 spots this week to number 7 on one AP voter's ballot? Man, talk about just shining a spotlight on somebody. That guy's going to feel like a moron.
Maybe he doesn't want to vote anymore.
Please take it.
Yeah, so he's just trying to be bad on purpose.
Hey, can you see if it's the Michigan State guy that had like all the random qualifications last year to just make the top 25? Like
That's
Tennessee
right.
couldn't make a top 25
until they got a real road win.
Right.
So they got it against Memphis,
which is like half the teams.
Yeah.
Through this point.
Yeah.
Like, has Duke played on the road yet? Or tonight it?
Tonight's their first road game.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Breslin Center.
It was Troy. Provost Heron.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Nope. With the Times. Troy.
The Daily Times, right?
Yeah.
Maryville?
Yeah. Is it Maryville?
Yeah. The Daily Times? You said
Times. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to make sure people
Daily
knew
Times.
It wasn't the
Daily
Times
yeah.
Free Press and Chad.
No, yeah. Daily Times.
The Daily Times. Blount County Zone. Not a great look. Troy.
Probably just he probably didn't watch the games or think about it. He's probably like, there's no way Texas Tech lost 200 teams.
Maybe it was cut off and he thought it was Texas. They're not good either. Is there another?
I mean, when
Texas
Gary,
A&M,
I mean,
no.
Gary Parrish just writing the article, just like, man, slow season? Like, what are we doing? We got to take shots at
it's bad.
East Tennessee sports writers? Why does everyone love taking shots at East Tennessee sports writers?
I mean, he did deserve it.
I mean,
I don't know if he deserved Gary Parrish writing an article about it. He might have deserved like a look at this guy, haha, tweet, but maybe not an article.
Okay,
you're Gary Parrish. Like, you've got some. You
moved him up after they lost two games, like
4 spots.
What? What is that?
He probably wasn't looking.
Yeah, just guessed. That's
which
bad.
Is kind of the point Gary's making. Like,
yeah, you
can't
give
these people votes and they're not paying attention.
I mean, I know they went to the Final Four and all, but. Kind of need to pay attention.
They're settling in.
Settling. Billy's got their schedule.
This is a predictive top 25.
Nope.
Everyone has different criteria.
What's KenPom ranked?
They're probably in like the 150th area.
Who? Texas Tech?
Yeah.
That bad?
28th.
Nope, I'm wrong.
How
slightly
much
off.
Did he move them up?
4 spots, 11-7. After 2 losses.
Oh, into the top 10. I thought maybe this was like a 20-16 type of thing.
No, it was 11-7.
Oh.
4 spots up.
After losing to Iowa
two
and
unranked.
Creighton.
Two teams. So, they're not in the top 240 of the KenPom, those two teams that they lost to.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. You said that already.
So they're down there.
I figured that'd really put a hit on their ranking, but guess not.
To some. Not others. I like Troy. I feel bad for Troy. This seems like an oversight. It's early. Who cares?
I see him on
Twitter.
He's good.
He's a good guy. Good guy. This seems like Gary Parrish just trying to dunk on somebody for no reason. Ironic because he covers basketball. No pun intended there, folks. Just that's how.
Falls dropped from 17th to 21st. Haven't mentioned that.
I didn't think we'd drop outside the top 20, considering we lost to a team that probably should be in the top 15 and then beat the 20th ranked team. But, okay, if you want to drop us to 21, whatever. Drop us to 21.
That Florida State game was bad. Like, I mean...
Well, that's why I was surprised. It was so bad, and you only lost by 3. If I'm a voter, even if I'm just looking at the score, I'm thinking, okay, Tennessee obviously not that bad. Florida State must be pretty damn good. But if you watch that game, how are you not thinking Tennessee cannot play worse than they did tonight, and they only lost by three to a pretty good Florida State team who ended up winning the Emerald Coast Classic? I thought 20, but again, 21, one spot, not that big of a deal.
Just Tennessee sad. Plays their first true road game isn't until December 18th at Cincinnati. So on that voters, the other guy, the weird guy, they won't make an appearance in his list.
We can officially be ranked
whenever
they if come we win
that weekend.
If we win.
Do you have to win a road game or just play one?
I don't know. It might be play. I think it might just be play a road game. I think it's play a road game.
Definitely would help if you ever win it. To get real simple with it.
Tennessee's going to play one road game in all of 2019. I guess that's pretty common.
Someone just sent me a little four-line Bill Walton exchange with Pash from the Maui Invitational. Mm. Have you ever been to Chandler, Arizona? I live there, Bill. Wait, you live there? Bill, you've been to my house.
I was listening to that last night.
You were there this week, Bill.
I was listening to that.
I love my bike. I love to ride my bike. Man.
Apparently, Grant has informed us that Gary Parrish does that article every week, and he finds hilarious bad votes constantly.
If you're going to vote, you might want to at least just peek at the record, right? Why would you not just, like, I don't know. I feel like it's supposed to be like an honor, right? You know, I get to vote in this. Man, you know, if you want to keep the vote, you think you'd pay a little more attention. But it's early. Things will start to shape up and settle out. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, whatever. But Tennessee gets the Rattlers tomorrow. Former Vol, Terrence Woods, played for Florida A&M Rattlers after transferring on a... He transferred when Jerry Green got fired. And Buzz came in, or was it when Buzz got fired? I think it was when Buzz got fired and we brought in Pearl, which always was disappointing to me because Terrence Woods went to Florida A&M and led the country 2 years in a row and made three-pointers. Could you imagine that guy in Bruce's first 2 years? He would have been like Lofton before Lofton and with Lofton because they would play at the same time. He was a baller. Love those unis, green and orange, but featuring the orange instead of the green. A lot of rattlesnakes in Texas, too. It's very scary down there. Or in Florida, excuse me.
We'll come back with more lots to get into on this Optimism
Tuesday. The pygmy rattler is very common in Florida. They're small, but venomous and dangerous.
The show. In the Breaks podcast, lit today.
Woo. I'm really wondering if that should be a thing.
I think so. This segment of the program is brought to you by the actual.
It's like, Davey, mic's off. Other mic's on. Hit record.
The actual program brought to you by Knox Smiles. Check out KnoxSmiles.com to make an appointment. They got you covered right here in Knoxville, creating beautiful smiles one relationship at a time. 865-539-1776 is the number to call them. You can obviously get your cleanings and dental work done there. But they're also experts in implant surgery and restorative treatment as well. Check them out right in the Cedar Bluff area. Easy to get to. KnoxvilleSmiles.com to request an appointment today. Auburn's trolling Alabama. Their dean has
Sisturus
put out
Miliaris.
A statement. What is that?
The pygmy rattlesnake.
Statement on final exams. It is undeniable that when every second counts, Auburn men and women make great things happen. Under Coach Malzahn's leadership, student athletes have twice proven the difference that 1 second can make. In the spirit of continued success, I hereby authorize professors and instructors to add 1 second to the allotted times for next week's final exam. I missed that whole twice thing in there when I kind of just saw it the first time. Whew. Kick six. Remember, Alabama got the second that time. really the game should have ended. It was like kind of a bang-bang play on the sideline. And everybody's like, Saban
was over there like campaigning.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, definitely a second here.
Give him the second.
Oh, you hate to see it.
Kick it.
Was that unfair, too?
Yeah. I mean, you could make the argument that they didn't deserve the second. They stopped it as soon as the guy's foot hit out of bounds when they went back and did the replay, but it's actually supposed to go on the ref's whistle. Like, there's supposed to be a slight human element
lag
delay.
Time,
yeah.
I think they've eliminated that from the rule book, though, and that actually is what cost Auburn in this scenario. Like, they've eliminated the lag time second. I remember Steve Spurrier freaking out about that one time because it was like 2 or 3 seconds
okay.
at the end of the half.
For people like me who were at the Tennessee game.
Yeah.
What exactly did Nick Saban blow the gasket over?
Okay, so the ball is around midfield-ish.
Okay.
There's like, and I won't have the exact numbers right, but
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's more, like 11 seconds.
Okay.
But Auburn's nowhere near field goal range at this point. Bo Nix drops back to pass. They're out of timeouts. So he's got to, like, force the ball down the field, get a first down, stop clock, spike it, or throw it to the sideline. He can't really find anybody open in either of those places. So eventually he just dumps it down to the running back who catches it, takes off running, gets the first down, gets tackled and kind of held up a little bit as he then gets kind of crumpled down to the ground.
Right.
And it looked like live that it's hard to tell whether he was down or up with 1 second left or not. The clock ran out to zero. I thought, yeah, that's it. I mean, I thought live it took until zero for him to actually get down on the ground.
Okay.
So the clock ran out. And that's when that was actually the problem, because now they're reviewing it to see if he was down with 1 second left. Once they come out from review and say, yep, he was down, only 1 second left, well, then Auburn's allowed to line up their field goal unit because the clock is going to start on the ready for play, but because they've had the review, they can now be lined up. And Malzahn told his center, and correctly so, as soon as you hear that whistle, you snap the football. And so, whistle, ball snap, field goal kick.
Did they also spike it in there somewhere?
No.
Oh, okay. I had read somewhere that they, maybe it was an Alabama person tweeting it, because they were saying, how does Auburn have 1 second to get the first down, spike it, and then kick? So they did not spike it.
Do you have to have 3 seconds to spike it? They made
a rule.
I thought
it was three.
They made a rule. Saban said that going into the half. He came out and yelled at the officials as they ran off. They interviewed, like, the CBS sideline reporter, Jamie Erdahl or whatever. She asked him, first question, why were you so upset there the way the end of the half played out? And he said, he's like, well, it's a running clock. Like, the clock's running. Like, if they make that call right on the field, there's no way Auburn can run their field goal team out there and get that snap off. The only reason they're able to get that snap off is because of the review. It takes 3 seconds to spike the ball. How can you be able to snap the ball for a field goal in 1 second? I just think it's ridiculous. Da, 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 da. And what's funny is I agree with him. If that was Jeremy Pruitt, I'd be on his side. But I didn't mind it at all. I mean, like,
yeah, there should be like a, I don't know, like a 2 second runoff in that situation or something, right? You know, like if
it takes
like,
3 seconds,
it's like, okay, he went down with four. You're going to be able to run the play, but there's a 2 or 3 second runoff.
If it takes 3 seconds to spike the ball, it should also take 3 seconds to substitute. Like, my thing would be, okay, you can kick the field goal, but it's got to be with the 11 guys that were on the field because that's the only way you'd have been able to get up to the line, and it still would have taken a miracle.
Sure.
I mean, because the play was like 20 yards or something when it was all said. There was a lot of time left when the play started. But Nix eventually just dumped it down because he was out of options.
Naturally.
Then the guy ran for a few seconds. Then it took him a while to get tackled. In fact, Nix was telling the running back as they walked
get
off
down.
When they thought when the half was over, he's like, you know,
next time
in this situation, you got to know to get
first
down.
First down, get down.
But,
yeah, I mean, I see why Saban's upset, but, them's the breaks, kid.
I mean, if your kicker just makes field goals, you're
true. Less, yeah. You know. And your quarterback doesn't just throw it to the other team.
Yeah, I saw a stat yesterday. Barrett Salee was going through some numbers like into the regular season. He was like, Alabama, the only defense to not allow a play over 50 yards this season in like college football. And I didn't have a moment right then, but I wanted to reply back and be like, yeah, too bad their offense gives up plays over 50 yards for the defense going the other way. Well, did you ever see the highlight of that flat route that bounced off the back arm of the running back to the Auburn
player? I did see that, and it kind of blew my mind, honestly. I was like, why did that guy not have his head turned? And then what a weird elbow shot right to the lap of the Auburn defender who just – it was like a fade route, and then he takes it the other way. Very, very unlucky. Sad to see Alabama be that unlucky, really. You know, you hate it. They've just dealt with so much over the years. To have everything kind of go against you like that in a big game.
I mean, when you come off the bootleg like that and there's a guy right in your face and you have to throw it too early, the rule is miss wide. Like, miss out in front of your receiver.
Sure.
You can't miss inside, because even on normal plays like that, if you throw it weak or you miss it inside, a lot of times that guy can cut off your running back and it can get picked off. That was a little bit of a weirder play, because I feel like neither – the defender or the back were really looking for the ball that early, but it just kind of hit the defender right off the arm, and boom. Thanks. Weird things happen.
Gus Malzahn keeps his job, though, at least for now. I think we all agree they're not going to fire him.
Apparently they really wanted to. That's what my
But then he beats
Auburn.
Alabama.
My
like
Auburn
you can't...
guy said, like,
well,
they
sure.
there were some people almost hoping that they would get blown out so they could
fire
him.
Okay, come on. Okay.
I'm just saying. It happens.
He's 3-4 against Saban.
I feel like that's really good for guys to get that many chances. Like,
is it the best percentage other than maybe Dabo?
Dabo's only won two, hasn't he? They were both for the title, but they got shut. They got shut out. Well, they got
I think Dabo and Clemson have only played Alabama four times.
Oh, and they're two. Okay, so it's
50%. 2-2 to 3-4.
Then Hugh Freeze is the only other one that comes to mind.
But he still had more losses than that.
He's still, at least 2-4?
Four, maybe,
Or 3, and he only won twice, right?
Yep, back-to-back.
Watermelon head out.
Yeah.
Apparently Ole Miss players not thrilled with that decision.
I heard it was like a split room on it too. It was like 50-50. Like, they're
the team.
Yeah, they're now like 50% of the players are like wanting to transfer after.
Yeah, well,
surprise.
I think it was more than 50-50 on we like Matt Luke, but apparently like half the team is not only disappointed but furious and thinking about transferring away. Which
I
is,
did see a lot of those guys started apologizing back to the athletic director for walking out of the meeting.
They probably overreacted, you know, emotionally in the moment, but I still think that's a pretty valid snapshot as how they felt. Apparently, Matt Luke was out recruiting.
That. He was not given the fair.
No,
he
was in the living room with a prospective student athlete, got the text, and then told the kid he was recruiting, you know, like, oh, by the way, I just got fired, so can you put the chicken casserole in to go box. I'm going to get out of here. Big chicken casserole guy, Matt Luke.
Apparently the kid was upset.
Naturally.
And Matt Luke, like, stayed with him, told him to, you know, just to...
follow your heart?
Well, to just kind of take some time and pray about it and make, you know, like, I mean...
You know, Matt Luke...
That's pretty...
was a really good offensive line coach here back in the day.
See where you're going with that.
And I think a lot of Ole Miss players that are good are going to transfer. You're trying to get that 85 number filled
Keith,
up.
Mm-hmm. Keith Carter is the athletic director for Ole Miss. Ross Bjork was the guy who hired Matt Luke. He left.
After the Hugh Freeze junk, right?
No.
It was right around time. I think he survived like a year longer than Freeze.
A little bit longer. He stayed all the way till 2019, but he just bolted for A&M to be like an AD Fisher
Bjork.
And having that.
Yeah, I remember watching him in that really awkward press conference when they went through the list of the NCAA stuff, and it was like just three dudes and a handheld camera. It was really weird.
Yeah, but Bjork made the Buzz Williams hire.
Yeah.
For basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is a new AD, so this is like his first big shakeup, because I want to say that even Bjork made the Kermit Davis hire.
Really?
Yeah.
Bjork, pretty good hire guy. It's just weird to me that Ole Miss coming off of NCAA stuff that had nothing to do with Matt Luke and Missouri coming off NCAA stuff that really didn't have anything to do with Barry Odom both roll their coaches in a year where it's going to be pretty damn hard to win because, A, Missouri's on a bowl ban and Ole Miss is still dealing with scholarship reductions.
I get that. I can at least see the Missouri situation of where if you're probably somebody on the inside, you're just like, did the team just quit on Barry Odom?
Well, yeah, but it was because they realized they couldn't go to a bowl.
I get that, but I'm sure there's something more inside that it's
I know that the team did not like Kelly Bryant. Like, they did not think he was a good fit culturally, and that a lot of the players were kind of torn because they kind of felt like Barry Odom, I don't want to say sold his soul, but kind of went out of what makes Missouri, Missouri when they went and got Kelly Bryant. But still, man, like, they were off to a really good start, and then the NCAA says, yeah, you're probably not going to get this overturned. It's tough to get a team motivated when they're essentially playing for nothing except, you know, themselves. And then a bunch of their guys started to sit, like Albert Okwukubunam, a couple of their good defensive players decided to be injured. And it's, I don't know, man, it's just tough. They did win their last game over Arkansas, 24-14.
Yeah, they would have been bowl eligible at 6-6.
Yeah, so, but again, can't go bowling.
I mean,
it's just strange.
I mean, I think this is just an AD saying, like, this guy's just not going to get
us. Well,
we
knew he wasn't going to get him there when he was hired, but it's just strange now, too, because with the postseason ban, they're out, what, $8, $9, $10 million on the SEC bowl money split. So not only are you short $10 million at no fault of the coach, but now you're going to have to pay him his buyout, which is probably not that big of a number.
Maybe he doesn't like him.
He seems like a likable guy, unless you're Jeremy Pruitt.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's just... When they hired him, I thought that was kind of like the lazy, easy, not going to get you anywhere hire because they just promoted him from D coordinator to head coach. The team went crazy. The team loves him or loved him. I don't know if they still do after this year. But the Matt Luke and Odom situation is very strange.
The athletic director at Missouri is Jim Sterk, and he did not initially hire Odom.
Yeah. It's another one of those situations.
Sterk came in 2016, and Odom took over for Gary Pinkle.
I'm just saying, like, if you're Missouri,
2015,
if you're Ole Miss right now, with all that's kind of been going on at your respective universities, like, who are you going to get?
Yeah, I was more surprised.
Just a guy that won't lose to Vanderbilt. Like, that would. Matt, I mean, that's the night Barry Odom lost the job.
Yeah, you're
right. Night they'll. I mean, Kelly Bryant.
Well, they also lost five in a row.
Kelly Bryant is playing in the game in Nashville against that Vanderbilt team that we saw on Saturday and couldn't. I mean, they barely scored. They scored one touchdown that was kind of legit. The other was set up at like a 10 yard line.
A pick near six.
Right. Yeah. What's Urban Meyer's record against Saban? Like 1-1? Two SEC championship matchups, maybe?
No, they played at Ohio State, too. Yeah, one at Ohio State.
So that's another one.
I think there was
I can't remember if
I'm not sure. Yeah.
I'll look it up.
We'll come back. Final segment, hour number one. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. You're the chosen one. Final segment, hour number one of the program. This one's brought to you by WaveTech Medical. Check them out online at WaveTechMedical.com and catch the wave.
Does it sound like that? Do we know what it sounds like?
It is acoustical wave therapy.
Does the guy just play guitar in front of you while you sit? Never mind.
I don't think
so. It's a bad visual.
I think it actually.
That's my fault.
I think it actually works.
That's on me. It's way more.
It's FDA approved equipment. Results in larger, healthier vessels and less plaque. The waves activate signaling pathways and transmit stem cells to the source of the underlying issue.
What was this? Never mind. I don't want you to read that again.
Okay.
What was the first part?
The application of acoustical waves or soft waves by our FDA-approved equipment results in larger, healthier vessels and less plaque.
Okay. Wasn't as bad the second time.
Okay.
First time, I don't know. I thought you said something else.
I don't think so.
Sorry. That's on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, for chronic pain, neuropathy in your feet, or ED, check out WaveTechMedical.com. Online at WaveTechMedical.com, you can get a free private consultation right there through the website. Or give them a call, 865-761-4401. It's WaveTechMedical.com.
Talking about some coaches getting the axe in the SEC, there was a little bit of...
you forgot Chad Morris, which is the search that's kind of gotten everybody worked up.
Of all the ones that made sense, though, Chad Morris being out at Arkansas made sense. I mean, his own players were dunking on him after he got fired.
Right, right.
Which was... I mean, you've been there a year.
Can we get Trey Knox back? Can we... Do we still not like him?
He's immediately regretting that decision. What about any of those offensive players they had committed?
Well, they're no longer committed. So
right, because they all decommitted.
Right.
Every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 33% of their recruits were from Knoxville.
In this class?
Yeah. Two guys went to West, or go to West still, technically.
Okay. Yeah, still over there.
Wasn't Elijah Young last week from South Doyle, the running back, four-star? He was committed to Missouri, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, he's Missouri.
We going to get back in on him? We going to try to get T. Hodges and Young?
I thought we kind of picked T. Hodge early in the thing. Well, said, we want that guy.
Because we've got Eric Gray. I think they wanted Hodge because he's a bigger guy, a little bit more of a bruiser.
You know Pruitt, like those big running backs.
Well, and we're going to get Jeremy Banks back too, so.
Breaking news.
No, I didn't say that officially. But he's not in the transfer portal, and he's still enrolled, and he hasn't been dismissed from the university. So it seems like there might be a pathway for him to get back on the team. Speaking of transfer portal, Ryan Johnson entered the transfer portal yesterday. Tennessee's redshirt junior offensive lineman.
Draw means it also.
The Ryan Johnson one I can kind of understand. I was a little surprised about Means.
I guess I can see it both ways. Like, Johnson's is – I can see it the way you just put it. But also, Johnson's gotten to play a good bit.
Quite a bit.
Means is – obviously hasn't played at all, but, like, is at a position where it's about to open up. Johnson's at a position where
it's kind of closing. Yeah.
So,
but he was already playing. It was weird.
Yeah.
I guess my whole thing was, okay, I can kind of see it. Some of these younger guys are probably a little bit more talented. Obviously, both tackle spots are going to be taken care of next year. I thought Ryan Johnson played okay at guard. If Brandon Kennedy gets the fifth year at center, there goes that spot. So I guess I kind of understood the decision. Makes it, again, tougher to get to the 85 because you're limited on how many guys you can add that won't go against the 25 number. So it makes it a little bit tougher for Tennessee. But on the Jerod Means thing, was it Russ on the voluntary reaction saying that apparently, forgive me, who's Nigel Warrior's cousin? Transfer from Georgia.
D'Angelo Gibbs.
Mm-hmm. Apparently Gibbs is going to be the real deal next year at receiver.
Yeah, that's what Russ said he'd been
Russ said he'd been unstoppable on the scout team.
Oh, okay.
But obviously Brandon Johnson redshirted. Ramel Keaton has played some, hasn't really made that many plays, and you bring back Palmer. Maybe Means just kind of thought, with that. And Jalen Hyatt's coming in. He's running 4-3-1. He's a beast.
Cedric Tillman looks like he might get some play as well.
No, he's already playing. I mean, he was the one who was hawking down Eric Gray on that 94-yard touchdown run. Definitely got some speed.
I mean, Draw Means was one of your lowest recruits since Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, he was kind of one of the diamond in the rough with big.
I mean, 1,893.
Well, it happens.
That's right.
Baker Mayfield was a walk-on at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. After he started at Texas Tech. But.
Draw Means also had an official visit to Rutgers. That was his last one before Tennessee.
Who's that?
Means, Rutgers. So maybe he's...
Oh, he sees an opening with Schiano.
Maybe Schiano texted him yesterday and said, hey, let's go.
That's illegal. That's tampering. And if so, I want to hammer Schiano for tampering. Like a hammer him.
I think Means will probably go back to a smaller school in Georgia.
Well, Davey Hudson's weighed in with his official prediction.
There you go.
Thank you, Davey. Why do you think that?
Isn't he from Lovejoy?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see him getting many opportunities with a Power 5 program elsewhere.
Yeah, and off from North Carolina. Go there. Came down to Tennessee.
That was before his current staff.
Yeah, came down to Tennessee, UConn, and Rutgers. Those were his.
Imagine playing football in Connecticut.
Hell, he might go to Georgia State.
Those are the ones he visited.
Okay, that's enough.
Imagine playing in
New Jersey. Turn your mic off. I would rather not.
Would verified rather not. 4.61. 40.
Oh.
Not too fast.
That's pretty fast, man. Like, 4.61 is not
it's
slow.
It's fast, like, yeah, like compared to.
It might not like, be like SEC. It's probably faster than Juwan Jennings. He's okay. I'll be interested to see what he does run officially. He looked pretty fast on that.
I would not run if I was Juwan Jennings.
He looked pretty fast cutting back across the field against Vandy. He looked sneaky quick.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I'm with Nate.
you wouldn't run. He's going to have to run a 40 at some point.
No, you don't.
You think he'll get invited to the combine?
Yeah. He's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. He'll get invited to the combine. As a senior? Yeah.
I think he's right on that line.
I would think so.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying.
You're hating.
I think you will, but Billy is right. He's kind of on that line.
The guy was a Biletnikoff Award finalist in the final 20.
Semifinal,
yeah.
I said 20, final 20.
But don't they usually take like 25 receivers?
Yeah, it's not very many.
I don't know. Yeah, he was on the 12 voter, like, the voting panel. There was only 12 votes.
Walter Football's had him around like 26 to 28 as far as receivers taken.
He's going to the combine.
Okay.
Now, he may not run at pro day.
I wouldn't run at all.
What if he's faster than we think? What if he can pop out of like a 4.55?
Well, then run, but...
What's your cutoff if you're him? Like, if you think you can run a 4.65, do you run?
Maybe, but if there's a chance I'm running a 4.7, I'm not touching it.
Not touching it?
No, that's the number.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, yeah. Now we can chill on that a little more. Lots to get to. Hour 2, next.